on this one. I think we did a lot of things to try to beat ourselves, and then we did a lot of good things to win the game. So we did, it seems, at the score that we did more good than bad, so I'll take it.
Maddie Wilkie came up big. She had a big first quarter for you, hitting three threes, had 9 points, and I believe ties her career high with 17. What can you say about her? Has a couple of big baskets down the stretch, too, to give your team the lead.
Yeah, you know, I think Maddie's just continued to progress, and, you know, her offense, it definitely comes off of her defense, and I think when she's feeling good and, you know, zone, she's a zone buster. You know, she makes threes. I think we got a bunch of corner threes for her, and you know, just really happy for the kid because she's worked so hard to get back to this point, and there's so much more for her ahead, but she's doing a great job right now.
That's her favorite spot too. I mean, she looks really comfortable in the corner shooting those
threes. I feel good about her when she's there.
Yeah. Julie Pospisilova, another 20-point game. She's got a stretch now of 7 games in double figures, 3 of those 20 or more, and she's always just doing, we talk about her points, but man, 6 assists and 5 rebounds as well. She's always chipping in everywhere.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that's what you expect. Obviously, wow, she took some, she took a lot of shots tonight. But I think, you know, that's what you expect from your seniors. You know, she wants to make sure that she, you know, leaves this place better than she found it. She wants to make sure that she finishes strong with her career, and I think she's doing just that this season. I'm really proud of her.
Back-to-back wins in the conference. How's it feel?
Good. You know, I think a little bit, I need to take some heartburn medication or something after that, but no, it feels great, and we got an opportunity to get one more in senior day, and, you know, 3 in a row sounds better.
Yeah, I'll let you go celebrate with your team. Thanks.
Okay, thank you so much, John.
All right, that's head coach Marissa Mosley as Wisconsin wins it tonight, 64-57. All right, we'll take a break. Come back, take a look at the team and individual numbers. Post-game show starts in a couple of minutes. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
At Cenex, we're locally owned and operated, so your community is our community. That's why your Cenex goes far beyond the store. We fuel community connections by supporting local festivals, restoring town monuments, and renovating baseball fields. Now in its fourth year, we'll have contributed more than $400,000 to Cenex communities through our Hometown Pride initiative, because community connections make the places we live so special. Cenex, powered locally.
When you set up a savings goal with U.S. Bank, it grows with you. There's no limit to what you can crochet. I mean, can do. Doesn't have to be crocheting, but it totally could be. Like the headphones you're listening to this ad with, you could totally crochet those. There's no telling where your savings goal will take you. Maybe you'll save enough for yarn to crochet your house or the whole town. Oh, right. Doesn't have to be crochet related.
Set up savings goals on the U.S. Bank mobile app, even for the wildest of dreams. U.S. Bank. We'll get there together. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
After I came home from Iraq, I could still hear the booms. Makes it hard to be a good mom.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
DAV helps veterans get the benefits they've earned.
Thanks to DAV, I was able to begin to heal.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
From the Ad Council.
And that's back-to-back wins for the Wisconsin Badgers. 64-57, the final here from Walsh Ryan Arena in Evanston. Second time this season the Badgers have won back-to-back games. It's their fifth conference win of the year, 10th win overall this season. So the Badgers reaching double figures in wins for the first time since the 2019-2020 campaign when they won 12 times. Fifth win matches the 5 wins of last season, but this team's better than a 5-win team. They've won the last two, which were, I call, gettable games, but it hasn't always been that way this season. They've let some winnable games, like the first time against Northwestern, get away from them. The first time against Rutgers got away from them at Penn State. They had a chance to tie that with under a minute to go. That one got away. So I guess my point is, if things drop a little bit differently, we're not looking at a 5-win Wisconsin team. We could be looking at even more. So I just feel like this team, at this point of the season, getting some confidence, boosting wins. They got another one. It'll be a tough one against Michigan. That's a ranked team coming up on Sunday. Wisconsin has not picked up a ranked win this year. But still, I feel like this team heading to the Big Ten tournament, we'll see where they actually end up playing. It's their fifth conference win of the season. So that puts them to that 5-win mark that now ties them, I believe, with the amount of wins there with one of the teams that they just beat. And that was Rutgers. So good stuff for Wisconsin, who came out firing here tonight against Northwestern. 3 3-pointers in the first quarter from Matty Wilkie, 4 from the Badgers as a team. And Wisconsin ended the quarter on a 6-0 run and led it after one by a score of 19-14. They started with the first 4 points of the second quarter, making that a 10-zip run overall. And outscored Northwestern when it was all said and done by one in the quarter. 32-26 was your halftime lead, but they did lead by as many as 13. Still had the lead there at the half. Third quarter, Wisconsin started on a 7-0 run and got it back up to a 13-point lead. But then Northwestern would start to come back, start to chip away. They got it down to as little as 1 point in the third quarter and outscored Wisconsin 17-16 in the quarter. And when that one was all said and done, it was a 48-43 score after three. In that fourth quarter, the Badgers outscored Northwestern by 2, and it was down the stretch. A couple of baskets by Matty Wilkie was the difference down the stretch here of this fourth quarter, as Wisconsin got it up to as big as 8 in the fourth quarter at 56-48. Northwestern would come back, 8-0 run, tie the game at 56 apiece. Badgers take the lead with 48 seconds. That was that Matty Wilkie score down low. Wisconsin would then get another layup by Wilkie as they broke the press, inbounding from the backcourt, and never really looked back after that. But they end up with the win here tonight, 64-57. I'm actually going to take a check of the Big Ten scoreboard, because I mentioned Rutgers at 5-11. Rutgers in action tonight at number 12, Michigan. That's the Badgers' next opponent. So we'll get a score of that. And those two teams could be tied. But the tiebreaker between them, unfortunately, will go to Rutgers as they split the season series. And then Rutgers has a better conference win than Wisconsin when they beat 7-win Nebraska. The Badgers have beaten 6-win Michigan State. That's their best conference win. So Rutgers would get the tiebreak in a seeding situation for the tournament. Overall, team stats look like this. Wisconsin shot 35% from the floor. Northwestern, 33%. Badgers hit 38% of their threes, 10 of 26. Northwestern hit 4 of 15. That's just about 27%. Wisconsin, 10 of 13 from the free throw line, 77%. Northwestern, 15 for 20, 75%. Rebounding, 42-38 in favor of the Badgers. Offensive boards, 13-11 in favor of the Badgers. Second chance points, Wisconsin by 1 at 12-11. 19 assists for Wisconsin as a team. Northwestern at 13. The Badgers did turn it over 20 times, but unlike the first matchup when Northwestern only turned it over 10, the Badgers forced 18 turnovers from the Cats this time, and had a big differential on points off turnovers, 28-17, despite having 2 more turnovers. 9 steals for Wisconsin, 10 for Northwestern. 6 blocks for the Wildcats, 3 blocks for Wisconsin. In the paint, 30-18, the advantage to the Cats. Wisconsin wins at 64-57. We'll take a break, come back, and look at the individual stats next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Time to redo this basement?
Yeah, a home gym, movie theater, model train utopia.
Or yoga studio?
I'm flexible-ish.
Great. I'll just use the U.S. Bank mobile app so we can plan it out.
Which way are you leaning? Setting a savings goal or applying for a home improvement loan?
I say we look at both options. Right here in the app.
Budget for a really good home gym. We deserve it.
Noted.
Help for today, planning for tomorrow. That's what U.S. Bank is for. U.S. Bank. We'll get there together. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Another season of women's and men's college sports is underway. Follow your alma mater or favorite team in their pursuit of the prestigious Learfield Director's Cup at LDirector's Cup on Twitter and online at TheDirectorsCup.com. Trophies will be awarded in June 2023 to the winning institutions in all competitive divisions. Learfield Director's Cup, the crowning achievement in college athletics.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 4 below. Tonight, under mainly clear skies, winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 18. Cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, chance for snow. Lows dip down to about 7 above. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Who played? Porter got out there for about a minute. Did not score, as did Leitzinger. Stapleton also playing time tonight. Did not score. Kron got in there just for a brief moment or two there in the end of at the end of the second quarter. But three players in double figures. Seventh straight game in double figures for Pospisilova. And it was the fourth straight game for Wilkie in double figures tonight as Wisconsin wins it 64-57. We'll take a break, come back with a check of the Big Ten scoreboard. Remember, Wisconsin trying to keep pace with Rutgers, trying to track down the Scarlet Knights for that fifth win in the conference. We'll tell you how they did, Rutgers did, and their matchup against the Badgers' next opponent, Michigan. Plus, we'll take a listen to some of the highlights from this one. Back with more on the postgame show next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 4 below. Tonight, under mainly clear skies, winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 18. Cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, chance for snow. Lows dip down to about 7 above. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 4 below. Tonight, under mainly clear skies, winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 18. Cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, chance for snow. Lows dip down to about 7 above. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows around 4 below. Tonight, under mainly clear skies, winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 18. Cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, chance for snow. Lows dip down to about 7 above. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
It squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Ashiro's work is never done. You care for the house, the kids, and our future. We're so grateful for all you do. Now, it's time to care for yourself and save a little more for retirement. A free 3-minute online check can give you the personalized tips you need to boost your retirement savings now. Visit aceyourretirement.org today.
A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Do about the far more destructive corporate deceivers who are George Santos's role models. Their lies kill people, yet they're still welcome in the halls of Congress.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, still hung up on the balloons. The balloon thing is really remarkable to me this weekend. I mean, I'll be quite frank. Never thought we were this skittish. Didn't think that. Knew we were divided. Knew we had some problems. But wow, when you see people dressing up in their cosplay military outfits with their big, you know, fake assault rifles, going out and taking pictures of themselves, like J.D. Vance with his with his $500 shoes sitting in front of the wood pile, like he's going to shoot up into the sky and take out the balloon. Just amazing to me. Anyway, this again, classic divide and conquer. I'm here to share some thoughts and bang this around a bit. I've asked my good friend Phil Glover to come talk with us. Phil's an AFGE District 3 National Vice President. Also got some intel background, which is the reason I brought him on to share some thoughts, because there's parts of this that I think we should have a real honest conversation around. Phil, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks, Rick. It's an interesting subject.
So were you running around in your backyard with your slingshot, you know, shooting up into the sky because the balloons were coming around?
No, I can't say that I was too. I can't say that I was too nervous about it. I kept reading reports about this balloon coming across the country. No, I can't say that I was that worried about it.
No, but here's the thing, and this is where I came down on this. I grew up during the end of the Cold War. This kind of stuff happened. I remember as a kid, you know, having to dodge under the desk because, you know, Catholic school desks, you know, evidently stopped a nuclear winter. Because we understood the idea of mutual assured destruction. And every once in a while, there was a Russian ship off the coast or a submarine or something. It always happened. You didn't have people running like they were really afraid of. This is amazing to me. Or am I missing something?
No, I think, I think social media and the way that media now is so segregated. You listen to the media you want to listen to that gives your point of view. And unfortunately, straight news is not really a thing very much anymore. So this kind of thing, it just drives wedges, more wedges into the population.
Yep.
So, you know, what used to be something that was normal, let's face it, every country sends over, you know, spy planes, or in our case, you know, we have drones. We used to have U-2 aircraft and SR-71 Blackbirds that flew over Russia and China and wherever else. And that was normal. It had been normal. And don't think that the other side wasn't sending stuff over the United States. They were, just like we were doing over there.
Yeah, but I come back to this, and, you know, I believe this was kind of a trial balloon. I believe the Chinese did this to go, let's see how they react. Let's see what reaction of the U.S. military is. Let's see what the reaction of the American people is. And I got to tell you, I think we failed. I think we failed the trial balloon test.
Well, I think certainly, you know, I don't know, years ago, the idea of foreign policy and foreign affairs was politics stopped at the water's edge. And that has gone away over, you know, the last decade or so, to where everything is fair game. You know, nothing is a secret. Nothing is nuanced. You know, all you have to do is look at the Twitter feed of some people, you know, Boebert and Jordan, and look at their Twitter feed over the last couple of days with this. It's just gotten ridiculous. And I, you know, I, I would hope that at some point the public, I hope, starts to realize they're being played. I don't know if they will or not, but I think they should.
But it's one of these things where our, you know, again, you know, I look at the media structure. I look at the messaging that comes out. It's, you know, crisis. We got to have a crisis. And then it's panic. And then panic. And then you've got, you know, we've got to have, you know, each side ramp up and attack the other. And it seems like we're attacking each other and not the problem. Look, China's a problem. We've got some serious issues with China on the economic front, especially. And I think this administration is addressing some of that on the cybersecurity front, on the supply chain front, especially when you're talking about military needs, bringing the, you know, manufacturing chips here. I think there's a lot that has to be done. And we're just not, I don't know that we're a serious enough country yet to be able to deal with real problems, because we're still worried about balloons.
Well, I think we certainly, as the administration has attempted to bring manufacturing back to the United States, I think the other thing is people don't realize how long that takes. You know, we are in a global economy. The chip issue, when it came up, how long does it take to build a plant, train people to create chips, the right ones, the ones that are needed at that moment? Those things all take time. And unfortunately, we become a society that thinks, boink, I hit my button, I want this now.
Yep.
That's not how that works.
DoorDash will deliver it.
Correct. And you know, we've been battling China economically for decades. We all, you know, this isn't new. And then, you know, think of them stealing, you know, a lot of our technology and patents and things that we were creating and cheapening it and selling it back to us, essentially, or selling it across the globe to other countries. You know, I guess that's part of what this balloon thing was. I don't know, as it went over Alaska, Wasilla, I guess. I don't know. I just think that people get too focused on these things. If you were in the military, if you ever got a briefing about what was going on in the world, these things were going on a lot. Now, I was in the 80s during Reagan's period of time, and believe me, this stuff was going on a lot. You know, we were looking at various countries and all the time as threats, and they were looking at us. And that's, you know, kind of how it was.
Yeah, but the thing that gets me is it's a balloon. It's a balloon, 80,000 feet in the air. What possibly could that balloon have gotten from 80,000 feet in the air that their satellites couldn't get, that Google Maps couldn't have gotten them?
Probably nothing nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part that we a total freak out without the thought of, you know, what are they actually gathering? And from a military perspective, because you were a military guy, is there some advantage to going, well, let's see where it goes. Let's track it. Let's find out what data comes out of it. Let's see what they're sending back, because we've got the capability to do all that stuff. There's value in that, right?
I think it's like you said originally, though, they sent this over to kind of provoke something. Yeah. It's not a technological advancement. So whether it was a weather balloon that went astray, or whether it wasn't, whether it was a piece of technology that shouldn't have come this direction, you know, it's a pretty outdated form of it.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, they're trying to go to the moon. We're trying to go back to the moon. They have satellite systems just like we do across the, you know, around the globe. So it's kind of it's an odd way of doing anything that is supposed to show technological superiority.
Yeah, good point. You listen to the Rick Smith Show with Phil Glover. Phil's the AFGE local national District 3 National Vice President. You can check out their website, afge.org. I want to get your thought on the State of the Union, kind of turn. I'm sure the balloon will come up, you know, as, hey, we shot it down, we did that. But there's got to be much more. There are a lot of people who are struggling. Inflation's still, you know, hurting working families. What are you expecting to come out of the State of the Union address? And as, you know, as a head guy over there at AFGE, what are you hoping to hear for your members?
Well, I think I think what you're going to see is the president putting forward what things have happened since the pandemic when he came into office. The jobs reports, 3.4% unemployment, trying to get the economy back up and running the way it should after, you know, a complete shutdown. And again, that's, you know, I think one side of the aisle is going to sit on their hands. The other side of the aisle is going to jump and clap. And unfortunately, nobody wants to recognize or they're into these political corners. So as the country comes out of a once in 100 year pandemic, we're going to see, you know, we see a tax on labor. You know, if, just a year ago, people were praising nurses and teachers and everyone else. And there are attacks on labor now. There's a tax on, you know, teachers. There's a tax on their income. We're coming back to that again. We've come around circle. So we must be out of it. And, you know, you look at this idea of inflation. At the same time, you see major corporations with huge profits. Exxon reported huge profits this past year. All of these other corporations. So that's not inflation. That's gouging. And so, you know, the narrative is inflation, inflation, inflation. But the truth is that's not what is going on. The truth is these companies were shut down during a pandemic and they're trying to make their profits back. And so they're jacking up prices. And the regular person out there, like you and me and others, are paying the price for it. We got a little tiny bit of help during the pandemic. Small businesses got a little bit of help. People got a little bit of help. But the fact is these companies want to make back all the profits that they didn't make during that 2 or 3 years. And they're hammering us. And I wish the Congress and the White House and others would really step up that message instead of this inflation message, which I think is bunk.
No, I'm with you. And this is where there's part of me that hopes the president comes out and says, look, you know, the Federal Trade Commission is going to start launching major investigations. We're going to come up with a Truman-esque committee to do, you know, to look at, you know, pandemic profiteering. We're going to go after these companies and find out why these prices are so high, why inflation's gotten out of hand, and start locking people up.
Even toward the end of last year when the House was still in the Democrats' hands, you didn't see them bring these companies up in hearings and ask, you know, that the Senate can do that now. Now that they have a majority, last year they were 50-50, and they really didn't have subpoena power unless both sides agreed and other things. Now that the committees are not equal, you know, the Senate should start doing that. They should start bringing some of these companies in and asking them where their profit lines are and why all of a sudden they're coming in with this kind of margin and how that's inflationary. The public deserves to know that.
Yep.
And that we also ought to be talking about. Every time I see a tweet from a Republican that says, you know, inflation's up this much and it's Biden's inflation, I always tweet back, are you proposing price caps? Or are you going to actually increase the minimum wage? They're not going to do that.
Right. There's no policy. And this is where my question comes of, you know, should Biden come out and say, look, put a bill on my desk to be able to do this, this, and this to address inflation. If you want to do something in the House that's going to be helpful, since you don't have any plans, because the reality is Republicans have no plans. There's nothing. I mean, we've denounced socialism. Congratulations. You passed a resolution that has no enforcement, has no goal, no anything. You did your performative thing. Bread and circus, congratulations. Yay. Good for you. But you don't have any legislation that's going to actually do anything other than get you your 15 seconds on fake news. So should he be coming out and saying, look, I want this. I want a price gouging bill on my desk. I want an increase in the minimum wage. I want to be able to do these things. I need these tools to help the American people get by.
I certainly wish he would do that. I mean, I think he could put them on their heels a little bit if he did that. You know, we just had a bill the other day pass, which we were not for, called the Show Up Act. You know, federal workers worked all through the pandemic. We had office workers that obviously worked, they were working from home. They didn't bring them into office spaces where the, you know, they could be infected by the virus. And so the first bill out of the chute from the new Republican chairman of the Oversight Committee is this bill to get us all back to work. Well, we've been working. Social Security offices have been processing Social Security. VBA has been processing veterans benefits. You know, everything's not ideal, but it wasn't ideal in the office setting either.
Yeah.
Actually, productivity in some cases went up because people didn't have to commute in an hour or commute home an hour. They got up, they go to their station, start working.
Yep.
You know, they don't have coffee breaks with their buddies. You don't have lunch to go to and then come back and then get back into the day. There's trade-offs. But that's the first bill that they put forward on the federal workforce.
Yeah, but their narrative, Phil, and you know this as well as anyone, is nobody's working. Everyone's lazy. Nobody wants to work. Everyone wants to just sit at home because they're not really working at home, Phil. They're sitting on the couch with their feet up watching Oprah.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's the technology doesn't allow that.
Yeah, but I mean, again, you're explaining. The narrative is you get to sit home and do nothing.
Right. Well, that's their narrative. And, you know, I think I you know, hope that the Senate doesn't take this up. It's ridiculous. They should have held hearings on it. They didn't. You know, if Chairman Comer really wanted to talk about the federal workforce, hold a hearing.
Yeah.
Have some people come in. Have the agency heads come in, have the union come in, and have a discussion with the, you know, with the committee. What's been going on for 2 years? But no, that's not how they handle business. They had said they wanted to go back to regular order. And, you know, the only Republican to vote against that bill, by the way, is Brian Fitzpatrick out of PA1. And because he knows us and he talks to us and he asks us questions. You know, unlike what has taken over the House. And I can only, you know, hope that as a federal representative, worker representative, that we can get to the point where there is regular order, where they hold hearings and bring in people to go over these things. And I hope it's not a circus.
I'm with you. Last question I've got for you. You know, what are you looking for in the State of the Union? Is there something specific that you'd want to see the president put in there? If you had, you know, a chance to pencil something in, what would it be?
If I had a chance to pencil something in, it would be something on the federal workforce that, you know, he appreciated what has been done by our federal workers over the last few years during this pandemic, and going forward, what his vision is for federal workers. As I think I've told you, the secretaries that he's appointed are not following his labor management agenda, and certainly the managers down below aren't. I hope he says something to the federal workforce about that.
Well, we'll see. Phil, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff, my friend.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Rick.
Anytime. Our good friend Phil Glover. He is the AFGE District 3 National Vice President, AFGE.org, the website, if you want to take a look at what they do. Going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. Love to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. If you miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. If you find your favorite podcast, you will find ours. Quick break. Right back.
Are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1919. That day began the week-long general strike in Seattle, Washington. As World War I drew to a close, many workers in the city were frustrated by 2 years without pay increases due to the war. 35,000 workers in the shipyards walked off the job. Workers from most of the 110 union locals across the city voted to support the general strike. At 10 a.m. on February 6th, the citywide strike began. As many as 65,000 workers, or a fifth of the entire workforce of the city, walked off the job. They were met by a combined force of the police and the military. It has been nearly a century since the Seattle general strike. This unprecedented stand by the city's workers has been remembered and commemorated in many ways. Perhaps the most innovative memorial came in the form of a rock opera. In 1985, Rob Rosenthal set the story of the strike to music. He based the lyrics on research and interviews he did as a graduate student at UC Santa Barbara over the course of 10 years. A band named The Fuse formed to record the 21-song album. The final project was a blend of rock, blues, and folk. The music tells the story of a fictional man who comes to Seattle looking for work in the shipyards during World War I, joining the labor movement and the strike. What labor history event would you like to hear set to music? Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com. Who's in the city, unless we say so.
Let the bosses curve. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Again, I come back to there's a lot that needs to be put into this State of the Union address. And if I'm writing it, he's probably going to give a six-hour speech if it's me writing it. So I don't envy the speech writers, because, look, there's a lot of messaging that has to go into this. Because, look, the right-wing outrage machine doing a masterful job of convincing people that their lives suck, and inflation is hurting people. Something has to be dealt with. Now, globally, inflation's much worse than it is here. But still, people need to connect. Let's go to the phones. Got Alice on one. How are we doing, Alice?
We're doing okay once I escaped from the containment camp yesterday. I'm not joking. The right wing has lost their ever-loving minds. And I guess coming new to you, close to everyone that's in a red state or near a red state, as you know, my husband was in the hospital, just got released yesterday. And he was in a hospital in West Virginia. And I went to pick him up, and I don't know if it was the Chinese spy plane or what have you, and I'm not joking, exaggerating about any of this. I walked into the hospital, and I started around their little poles and whatnot that they have there. And this little blonde thing just about tackled me to grab me by the arm and scream at me, going, ma'am, where are you going? Where are you going? You need to come with me. I'm like, excuse me?
Were you in a restricted area? Were you somewhere where your presence was a danger to somebody?
No. The thing yesterday was you had to show your photo ID and get your picture taken.
Yeah.
To go into the hospital. I'm not joking.
And no, that's coming everywhere. I mean, our need to feel secure. Again, I go back to the Patriot Act, the fact that we gave away so much power just because people needed this illusion of security. It's only getting worse.
Well, it is. And so I had to show my ID to pick up his prescription. So they were like, well, we'll bring him down. And I'm walking out of the hospital. And now this young guy comes running up to me and goes, ma'am, I'm like, what now? I'm already aggravated. I've had enough.
I can imagine.
It's been a drama-filled situation from start to finish. I'm done. And I said, what? He said, where's your visitor's badge? I need it back right now. So I looked at him, and I said, it wouldn't stay on my coat. I reached in my pocket, and it had stuck itself back together, and I just handed it to him and gave it back to him. And I thought, this is ridiculous. And I called today, and I talked to hospital administration, and I said, can you tell me, first of all, why we're doing this? Is this like a containment camp, or is this a hospital? So So I guess it's the new and improved way.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE. Brought